and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
Another week, another podcast, another dollar in the pocket of life.
Yeah, I'm sure you've said that before, and we're still not getting paid for this, you know. You know the old expression, fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
I know probably legally we can't say we're sponsored by somebody, but
no.
Could we start calling out to sponsors?
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I can't see it helping in any way, shape or form. If we start saying things a lot, maybe the message you get out. I mean, who would we want to be sponsored by?
Well, I'm not going to go mad, and you know, we're not going to suggest like Coca-Cola or McDonald's or anything like that.
That'd be ridiculous.
But today, I tried for the first time. Have you seen these adverts for HelloFresh?
HelloFresh, and is this delivery of ingredients?
Yeah, so you get a box, and we've paid $19.99 for the first week. Yeah. There's 10 meals in there, so that's me and Mrs. Ben 5 days done.
Right.
For £20, and we've had day one tonight, some sort of Asian pork dish. Yeah. And my God, it was nice. So if the HelloFresh people are listening, the Trev and Ben podcast could be brought to you by HelloFresh.
The thing I want to get clear here is if I was to go down this route and order from these people.
Hello, Fresh.
Yeah, right. are all the ingredients in the box? It's not one of these bloody Jamie Oliver things where it says you're still going to need a shitload of stuff in your cupboard to finish it. It's everything you need in this box. Does the meat come? Does the veg come? Does any sauces come? Is everything there?
I must be honest, I was busy at work, and Mrs. Ben, like the amazing wife she always is, had dinner on the table for me walking through the door. It was the 1940s dream today. So I can't really attest for that. From my understanding from what she's told me is that, yes, it's all in the box. I do imagine they probably assume you've got salt and pepper. But other than that, as far as I know, everything's in the box.
Well, that's fine. I've got salt and pepper.
Perfect portions. No waste.
Yeah.
The people at HelloFresh know what they're doing. HelloFresh.
Okay, and how long does it take?
I suppose each dish varies slightly. I'm not sure. I think it took her about 20 minutes, half an
20
hour.
20 minutes. I reckon that's about, because I hate cooking. I think cooking is one of the dullest things. Fine if you got people coming, but when you live on your own, cooking is such a bore.
Oh, I completely disagree. I love cooking.
Oh, I find it so boring. And I just think anything that takes longer than 20 minutes, not interested. Not doing it. So dull.
Okay, well then maybe you should try them.
Maybe I'll give them a go. HelloFresh.
There you go. See, that we could get a sponsor in no time. Maybe when we put out the tweet for this podcast, we should hashtag HelloFresh.
They do sound like a sanitary towel as well.
Now you've ruined it.
Maybe they could diversify it. That's all I'm saying. It could help us into the female market as well.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I imagine loads of women listen to this podcast.
Yeah, why can we not monopolise that market as well?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I don't care. I don't care whose money sponsors us. It's all fine with me.
Surely there'd be some things. I've often thought this. If I was offered a lot of money, highly unlikely, but if I was offered a lot of money to endorse a product, would my morals stand up? Would my scruples really stay in line? If they said to me, look, I'm going to give you £1 million to front an advertising campaign for the Sun newspaper. You know, instantly we're like, fuck off. But if it's like £1 million, would I do it?
I mean, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking, when you were talking about that, I thought, yeah, Vodafone. Fuck Vodafone. Not in a million
if
years.
If they said to you, right, we'll give you £1 million to front the advertising campaign.
Join Vodafone.
Yeah.
£1 million. You'd be mad to say no to £1 million.
I know, but I'd like to think that something inside of me would go, no, not even for £1 million would I sell my soul to sell something like that. Like, there are some things you think I'd compromise, of course.
I think you would soon park your hatred for the Sun newspaper if £1 million was on the table. I think you'd drop your scruples for 50,000.
I don't know. I'd like to think I wouldn't.
50 grand.
Just
to use your voice. We do it every week for fucking nothing. Yeah. We might as well earn a few quid out of the Sun newspaper.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a bit I'd like to think, no. No, I don't know if I... But, you know, I'm not saying don't, if you want to phone me and have the conversation, we can discuss it and then I can make a decision based upon where my moral compass is at the time. It's like a friend of mine, she's a TV presenter, and a few years ago, she went to have a meeting before coming to work with me. She went to have a meeting about the possibility, never came to anything, but the possibility of going on, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
Wow.
And she came to me after the meeting and she said, Trev, I've just had the meeting about it. There's nothing, nothing's firmed up. They may not even offer it, but I went to hear about it. What do you think? And I sort of, my response was, oh, would you really want to do that? Do you really want to go on that? And she went, it'd be the mortgage paid. You know,
that's how you got to look at it.
And she said it wouldn't, none of the sort of nasty stuff wouldn't have worried her. She said, oh, quite happily, all the insects and the weird toilets, whatever it is. She said, those things, it wouldn't bother me at all. She said, I'll be absolutely fine with those. As it turned out, it didn't happen anyway. But I thought there's a conundrum.
Did she ever tell you the figure?
No, I don't
know. You should
have
asked.
It's not my business to ask.
Oh, come on, Trev. If I told you, if in an alternate universe, I told you, mate, I've just had the phone call, they've asked me to be on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Yeah.
What I'd be pissed off
is why they phoned you first.
I would expect you to ask me how much. You know I'd ask you how much.
Yeah, I'd probably ask you. I just didn't feel right asking her. I just thought I shouldn't really be prying into her business. You, I'd be like, fuck it. You got to go on that. But like I said, we go, why are they phoning you?
And, you know, I think...
Would you go on it?
Would I do I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here? 50 grand, yeah, I'll do it.
Really?
I think that's low. I think there are some people who go on there who get hundreds of thousands. Oh. I think Noel Edmonds cleaned up when he went on there.
Do you think they offered it to him in a little red box? I wouldn't go anywhere near it. Wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Well, you say that.
No,
I don't think
not for any money.
Everyone, shut up. Everyone's got their price.
No way. No way would I be on that show.
£300,000.
I'm not that fame hungry.
I'm not interested in the fame. I'm interested in the money.
Yeah, I don't know if the money would be enough. I don't want to be in a cage with rats running around my face. For any money, I don't think I want that.
Okay, you're being an idiot, right? It's 2 weeks of your life.
Yeah.
If you win it, you could be out in like 4 days, just be boring as sin.
Yeah.
Don't be terrible at the trials because then the public will want to keep you in. Just be boring as sin and you'll get paid whether you're in there for 4 days or the full 2 weeks. You're fine.
Yeah.
And you could buy another house.
What if I just went in for a day and just went up to Ant or Deck, whichever one I got to first, and just punched them? Would I still get paid and then booted off?
There's probably clauses in the contract about that sort of thing.
Can't punch Ant and Deck.
No.
Depends on the other people on the camp are. There might be someone that I'd really want to, but let's say Michael Portillo turned up.
Yeah.
Tony Blair, he decided to just punch him square in the face.
Well, you see,
but you'd win that, wouldn't you? If I was to punch Tony Blair in the face,
yeah, and
I'm the king of the jungle. They just call it off air and go, no point in having the 2 weeks. Trev, you're king of the jungle. That would be the way to do it.
You'd probably get a bonus. Trev, I need some help. I don't know if I've been brutally snubbed or not.
Right, okay.
Someone has either been incredibly rude to me or just a bit of a dick in general.
Right.
I'm at work and I've got to go and do my collections in the afternoon. And one of the places I go to is an incredibly, and I mean incredibly, swanky hotel.
Oh, right. Do you have to sort of make sure you're clean your shoes before you go in, that sort of thing?
Well, no, I don't. I mean, I turn up with the same pair of white paint-stained trainers,
right,
wearing my shorts that haven't been changed in 2 years, that are held up with a belt only because the top button popped off months ago.
Oh, God, you sound like a tramp, mate. Are these the sort of people that are delivering the mail? They just oh, anyone will do. It's a matter of scruff. There used to be a pride in the postal service. I think there's some relative of mine, some distant relative, a great, great, great granddad or something. There's a photo of him somewhere. And I think he worked for the postal service. And the pride, this picture is one of those sort of, you know, old sort of early 1900s. And he's smart as anything. You know, there's you turn up with no button on your trousers, paint-stained shoes. Unbelievable.
So I rock up to this place, and I'm not exaggerating. There is always, when you pull up to the front gate, by the front door, there is always two gentlemen who work there wearing waistcoats, you know, arms behind their backs, as if they were bouncers, but they're not. They're just the sort of greeting party to this incredibly posh place.
What do they call it? They're like the concierge, whatever they're called, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. They have top hats.
They don't have top hats.
It's the ones, there's the ones in London where the posh hotels have the guys with the top hats outside, don't they?
Yeah, it's not quite top hat, but right. I mean, I then have to park this tin can in their car park and it stands out like a sore thumb.
Why aren't you going to the tradesman's entrance, the back entrance? Why are you rocking up at the front? Arrogance about it?
No, it's because all I have to do is park up, go through the front door, walk about 20 feet to the front desk, collect the post, scan a little barcode and leave. I'm right. In and out in about 15 seconds flat, right?
Right.
So I pull up and I thought today, so you know I wasn't exaggerating. Obviously, I don't remember what was there when this happened, but I was there again today and I made a note in the car park of what I could see.
Right.
Mercedes, Range Rover,
yeah,
Porsche,
right,
BMW, Land Rover Discovery, and something called an Austin Healey 3000.
Oh, no, an Austin Healey, isn't that like an old car?
Well, I Googled it, and I found it was a rugby player with 51 caps, but I think that might be another Austin Healey.
Yes. There's Austin. You didn't bother to look any further. You just, Austin Healey, first thing comes up, rugby player, that must be it. He's camouflaging himself as a car.
It's the Austin Healey 3000 was what it was.
Right.
I did do a little bit of Googling on this subject. It's a British sports car built from 59 to 67.
That's right,
and it's
yeah.
best known of the big Healey models.
And is it racing green?
Yes, it was. They're all incredible. I can't explain to you the level of swank of this place.
Yeah, I'm getting a picture of it now.
Basically, I turned up there one day last week, and very unusually, one of the guys with the waistcoats, before I got a chance to get out of the van, approaches me with the mail. I thought, oh, this is right. unusual. Normally, I come in and collect it.
Yeah.
He said, oh, here's the mail. I said, oh, thanks very much, mate. I said, you don't have to bring it to me. I'm quite happy to go in and get it like a normal, you know, like I normally do. That's fine.
Yeah.
And he said to me, well, actually, we've got a wedding going on in there at the moment and we don't want you to be seen.
Yeah. We don't want the likes of you interrupting this high end wedding that we're charging a fortune for.
Now, this is what I couldn't quite understand, because he did say, we don't want you to be seen.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, ow, I have feelings, you know?
Had you not have described the attire that you put yourself into to go to this place, I might have thought, yes, you're quite right to be offended. But right now, I'm thinking, of course I don't want you anywhere near it.
But this is what I don't quite know. Did they mean, we don't want you to be seen as in you, this unkempt specimen who is going to troll through our lovely hotel?
Yeah.
Or did they mean you, the working man, the scum that no one wants to be reminded of? And I just thought, well, I don't know which one, so I'll have to sort of park that and never know what they meant.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. Like I mentioned to you earlier on, I have to scan this thing on my little scanner to say that I've been to this place, or it won't show up that I've visited there.
Right.
So I said, sorry, mate, it's all well and good you bringing me the post, but I do have to go in and scan the barcode. And he said, oh, and he looked really disappointed.
Well, his job was to keep you out.
I know, and he failed. So I said, listen, mate, I'll be in and out in 10 seconds. So I basically walked quite quickly in.
Did he put a blanket over you or something?
Like someone being ushered into court.
Yeah.
So I basically scanned the barcode, left. I was in and out in 10 seconds. I said, thanks very much. And he sort of went, oh, yeah, okay. And then off I drove and got out of there pretty quick. And I thought, I don't know. I mean, like, I've had a wedding. You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
People were dressed up nice. It was a lovely occasion.
Yeah.
And I can't think for one moment, if I'd clapped eyes on a postman, a delivery boy, a taxi driver, someone delivering a pizza, it wouldn't have ruined the day for me.
Maybe it was a celeb wedding.
Maybe. I mean, you say that. I mean, the general...
Maybe Austin Healey was getting married.
I don't want to, you know, pigeonhole, but I see a lot of the guests generally on a day-to-day basis coming and going from this place. And I won't name them. And they do tend to... The clientele is mainly, I'd say, very wealthy white people in their mid-70s.
Right.
Wearing... you know, coloured corduroy trousers.
Off to the golf like course.
That. Yes, that sort of people.
Okay. What, well-known people? Are you seeing famous people? You don't have to name them, but are you seeing famous people or at least well-known business people?
I've never seen anyone that I recognise there, no.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know whether they just thought, you know, you look like such a scruff bag or you look so common that, you know, you might go and insult the bridesmaids or, you know, tell the bride she could be, you know, batting, you know, above her average or, you know, mock the bridesmaid's mother's cellulite or something. I don't know. They obviously,
You've thought it through all the options.
or was it just, you know, on this most austere occasion, Mr. Scumbag, we do not want them to see the working lad.
Were the wedding party in the reception? Because presumably that's only as far as you need to go.
Yeah, I had no reason to set foot anywhere other than the same... few steps up to the main desk and back again. And I didn't see anybody.
So you weren't going to interrupt a moment, like they weren't having photographs taken at a special statue or something in the reception area of the hotel. You didn't interrupt anything.
No, I don't think many wedding parties get their, you know, big photos done next to the sort of check-in desk, do they?
Well, you don't know. They might have a big staircase that they might want to have photos on, you know, when you're going up to the grand suite.
I mean, Tamara, the lovely girl who works on the reception desk.
Yeah.
She's absolutely lovely to talk to, and I'm always very pleasant and say hello and goodbye.
Really?
I wouldn't want my new bride photos taken there, though, as lovely as she is. You know, I'd probably find a nicer place in the grounds of this luxurious hotel, not necessarily with the girl at reception.
Well, I'm not saying she's going to be in it. Am I? I'll tell you what, the photographer's going to say to the bride, I'll tell you what, love, you just pop out for a minute. Tamara, pop in. It's not going to happen, is it? She's more photogenic than you are, love.
So what's the problem? I should I be offended or should I just thought they don't want me cluttering up their big day?
Yeah, I think maybe. Basically, they don't want, you know, posties. They don't want delivery
people.
The
working class.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want a scum turning up today. And then they saw you come in. It went up a level. It was sort of code red. So Tamara, she's run out. She's run out with a post, giving it to our waistcoat boy. And they've forgotten to ring the barcode. I mean, where is this barcode? Why do you have to go in for the barcode?
It's in a little box on reception. They can't bring me. It's sort of nailed to the desk, so I've got no
mobile
choice. Exactly. Okay. But this is the problem, right? These boys know me. They see me every day. They know I'm in and out in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So well, I think they were protecting something. I think you might be onto something. I think they were trying to protect somebody.
I think there's a big name in there. I think, because let's remember, you're only down the road, as we discovered last week, from the Scientology headquarters.
Yes.
It could be a big Scientology member getting married.
To be fair, it is only about a 10-minute drive from the Scientology place. I really shouldn't give any more clues, because people could find this place quite easily.
It could have been a big Scientology bigwig. And,
it could have, but I mean, very, how would I have
very,
known that?
They're very defensive. They don't want outsiders anywhere near, do they?
I mean, I think... I probably would recognise David Miscavige, but other than that, I wouldn't know many of the Scientology. I doubt he'd be there, no.
If Tom Cruise might have been there. He might have been a bit of a... I think he's been in the UK, hasn't he, Tom Cruise?
And not only has he been to the UK, but my old collection route used to be where his house was.
Well, maybe he was in there.
Until he sold it to Peter Andre.
Maybe Peter Andre was in there. I think they'd let you in if it was Peter Andre.
Yeah. No security at that wedding.
Talking of deliveries, Ben.
Ah, yes.
I ordered a couple of things this week. Nothing that exciting. I ordered some screen wipes for my laptop.
Wow, you weren't kidding.
And I also ordered some USB charger plugs.
I can hear this podcast rocketing to the top of the iTunes charts as we speak.
But HelloFresh will be on the phone now, won't it? And we're definitely on. What was it you were talking about? USB charger plugs. Yeah, we're in it. We're in.
Make sure you put that in the tweet. People will be downloading before you know it.
So then the exciting day came where I get the email, says, will be delivered today.
Nice.
I'm waiting in, looking out the window.
You waited in for it?
Like a dog at the window, waiting for the Amazon man to arrive. Or woman. I didn't know what sex the delivery person was going to be.
Okay.
I didn't wait. I wasn't waiting in. I just don't go out anymore. There's a difference. So they arrive and I think, well, that's good. I wrap the first one. It's the screen wipes. Good. Tick. Job done. There. Wipe the screen. Right?
Done.
I open the second one. Now, it's not very often, if ever, that I've ordered a parcel and what's arrived isn't anywhere near the thing I've ordered.
I'm interested.
Well, let's see if you could guess. I've ordered 3 USB charger plugs.
Is it even within the same technological field?
No.
3 USB plugs.
Yeah.
Was the quantity the same?
No.
Fucking hell. So this really could be anything. I'm going to guess you got sent a pack of women's hair scrunchies.
A pack of women's hair scrunchies. No, it wasn't that.
Could it be a toy bus? You've lodged an order with a dyslexic Amazon picker who's seen right. USB and they've given you a toy bus.
No, it's not that.
That was a good guess.
What I've got is a packet of diabetic blood sample test kits.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed that.
Now, I don't know where that's gone wrong. It can't even be anywhere near the same shelf in the warehouse.
Blood sample. There's your B and the S. We need to find a U in there.
You're really clutching at some straws there, mate.
Unique sample blood test. USB test.
Really?
I don't know.
Really? I couldn't quite understand how that happened.
So have you kept them?
What use are they to? I mean, there was a bit of me thinking, should I test my blood sugar level right now? Should I just do it? Just give it a go.
Well, the first thing I'd have done would have been look up the value of what you'd received. And then if it was of a large value, eBay it straight away.
See, this is how you think, innit? My first thing was, oh, now I've got to fucking sort out sending this fucking thing back. My second thought, and perhaps this is where we differentiate a little bit here, Ben, because you've gone straight onto eBay. How can I make a little nice quid out of this?
Yeah.
I've gone, shit, what if there's a diabetic person out there who's just received 3 USB charger plugs and he's falling into some sort of coma because he's not received the sample kits? That was my concern.
Well, I hope they haven't charged him 3 times. Now, that is a fine joke. I expect a round of applause for that.
Well, I think a round of applause is a little bit too far. It's So anyway, they've gone back. They've been collected. They've gone back, but now got to reorder the plugs. It's all a palaver, isn't it? Getting something wrong.
I've heard this thing, and I don't know if it's an urban legend or not, that if Amazon send you the wrong thing, or even if you want to return it,
yeah,
if it's under a tenner,
yeah,
they won't even bother asking you to send it back.
That's right. That's happened to me in the past.
Now, there's a scam for exploiting.
Yeah, I'm sure if you do it more than once or twice, they must start to question it, mustn't they?
Well, that's the thing. Probably once or twice. But being married, I can get away with these things once or twice because all I need to do is...
You've really thought, you're thinking it through, I can get away with this.
Well,
your
like
mind...
I just thought, you know, Mrs. Ben, for example, like I told you earlier on, she got the first weekly discount for your introductory offer to HelloFresh, $19.99.
Yeah.
So we'll enjoy that for the first week. We'll cancel it. Then we'll order it again under my name. And then HelloFresh, $19.99 once again.
Fucking hell, you wanted them to sponsor us half hour ago. Now you're taking the piss, mate. They'll be out of fucking business if you carry on this little scam.
So, yeah, I think you should get everything you can in this life.
Wow.
I'd love to know how they made that mispick, though. But we'll never get to the bottom of that.
No, we'll never get to the bottom of it. But what it got me thinking about was other times where people have received things that are totally different to the things that they'd ordered.
Okay, I can think of one example straight away where I once, as a birthday present, ordered Mrs. Ben a hat, a little hat.
Oh, yeah.
And it was from a certain brand or company. And they sent us through the wrong object. They sent through a bag. But I looked up on the company's website the value of the bag, and it was a good 15 quid more expensive than the hat. So you, I thought,
stuck that on eBay.
You're having the bag, love.
Oh, she's got to keep that.
Yeah.
Right, you haven't put that on eBay and then just bought the hat with the proceeds from eBay. Didn't you sell an iPad on eBay?
I did, yes. I think we've gone through this story before on the podcast, so I'll give you the quick version. Basically, through Groupon, I ordered an iPad. It took weeks and weeks to arrive, so I thought, sod this, cancelled it and told them why. They refunded me immediately. And then with the funds back in my bank account, I went on Amazon and bought an iPad, which arrived. A day or two later, the Groupon one arrived. No one ever came after me for the money for it or the thing to be sent back. So plonked that on eBay and then got all the money back having sold that one.
Wow.
A few months later on,
the police arrived.
The person I sold it to got in touch and said, oh, we're having a bit of problem with this iPad, so we're wondering if you could give us the serial number from where you bought it from so we can contact them. And I said, nah, sorry, lost the receipt. Bye-bye. Not falling for that trap.
So anyway, I started having a look for people that have had similar issues. A lot of these do seem to be crime stuff, though. You know,
okay. Like, I'm interested. I'm always up for, you know, new ruses.
Well, some bloke, he ordered what he thought was a Samsung mobile.
Yep.
And when the parcel arrived, what was in it was a bar of soap.
That's disappointing.
Yeah. Now, that makes me think that someone's nicked it and put something else in to replicate the weight.
Exactly.
I mean, you'd be furious, wouldn't you?
Well, not only would you be furious, but surely you've got to then prove to the shop that you're not trying to be a chancer, claiming he's got a bar of soap in it.
I don't know how you'd get around that. How can you prove otherwise, though?
I don't know.
Because the same thing happened to someone else. He ordered a phone. A box arrived with two bits of fruit in it.
Did he order an apple? Sorry. I mean, that was so poor. I couldn't even deliver that with conviction. It was such a shit joke.
It was a BlackBerry. One man ordered a really expensive pair of shoes, and what arrived was two coconuts.
I mean, that's good for tap dancing.
Yeah, or if just horse noises.
But if you're an audio technician and you wanted to do the sort of walking sound effect, that'd be good. Is there anything that you would receive? I mean, you're annoyingly honest.
Yeah.
If you got something brilliant through, and it was untraceable.
Yeah.
Like, unless you own up to this, they won't figure it out. If you ordered, say, oh, I don't know. I mean, they're all as random as each other, these things. So if you ordered a box of DVDs and instead you got a £3,000 top-of-the-line Apple MacBook thing.
Yeah.
And you knew, if you just keep quiet, there's no tracing it.
I don't know if my conscience could. I don't think I could sleep at night.
Okay, look, now this is important to me because I think that's admirable. I think you're stupid, but I think it's admirable. Your conscience against who? Apple? You know, that massive conglomerate worth billions. Who, you think they're going to miss it?
No, it's just more the fact that I would know that something has gone wrong and it's the
but no one's going to be left short here. No. The person who may have placed that order will eventually get their replacement item when they realise the mistake.
Yeah,
I know. That's happening is someone is getting a free laptop. That's all that's happening in this example.
I don't think I could do it, Ben. It's a bit like that time where, do you remember, I've told you this before, about a year ago, when I filled up with petrol and paid with my card at the pump.
Oh, for a quid.
And then got home and only a quid had gone off my account. And this was about 11 o'clock, half 11 at night. And I knew that I wouldn't be able to sleep. So I got back in the car, drove back to the petrol station, went up to the counter and said, look, I think something's gone wrong here. I've filled up the tank and only £1's gone. She said, oh, no, that's normal. The rest will go tomorrow. But she thanked me for my honesty. But I would not have been able to sleep because even driving back to the petrol station, I kept thinking, well, I'll probably get stopped by the police because the word would have gone out.
there'll be a manhunt. Yeah.
He's left without paying his petrol and I'll probably be stopped. I was terrified about it. The whole thing stressed me out way too much.
So you wouldn't do it?
I don't think I could, mate.
I was going to recommend you all sorts of little ruses, but obviously it's wasted on you. You won't use any of them.
Well, go on then. Try me.
Well, you know, you never thought about the little savings you can make on your day-to-day shop with the old self-service scanning gun?
No.
So, for example, you could pick up, I don't know, a small tub of butter.
Yeah.
Or maybe peruse at the price, maybe scan the little one. Maybe pick up another slightly bigger one and just compare the two, then maybe accidentally put the wrong one back on the shelf and you pop the bigger one in your bag for the little price.
Is this the thing where you scan as you walk round?
Yeah.
This is why they're not letting you in the hotel. They probably think you're in fucking bathrobes, they'll be gone. Anything that isn't nailed down. That's why they've nailed the box down with the barcoding. That'll be gone. Now, Ben, before we finish up this week, there's a little matter that's been hanging over us for a couple of weeks now.
It has been, and you've been skirting the issue.
I haven't been skirting the issue.
You've been promising me an answer.
No, what I said to you, I explained it all last week, that I had contacted the Trev and Ben podcast resident physicist, and he was on his holidays, which is perfectly legitimate this time of year. No, it's legitimate to be on a holiday during the summer, but I said that I would get him on the podcast this week to, basically to rip you a new one with this stupid fucking question.
I don't think it's stupid at all.
Well, let's see. Gareth Sturdy, welcome back to the Trevor Men podcast.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us your time.
It's a pleasure.
So, Ben, give us the question again.
The question is beautiful in its simplicity, and it is thus. If it's 0 degrees today and it's going to be twice as cold tomorrow, how cold will it be?
On the face of it, you think, well, that's easy to answer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you start to think about it. And this is the first hurdle we came up against in that if you think you multiply anything by zero, you get zero. So very hard to double zero.
Yep.
Right? Maths never my strong point, but that would seem to be clear to me. Then I started to really scrutinize the question because it worried me that there was no scale being given in the question. Yeah. There's no centigrade given. There's no Fahrenheit given. It's just, if it's 0 degrees. I mean, that's where I think the first issue of this is. And then Ben started saying, well, it wouldn't make any difference.
It really wouldn't, because I was suggesting that presumably at one stage, I'm not smart enough to know which, but one of them came first, degrees Celsius, degrees Fahrenheit. So let's just assume the question is still being asked when we've only got one system of operation.
Right, but what I thought is that if you had two systems like we do now, you could at least convert something to another to get an answer.
But neither Fahrenheit or Celsius were specified in the question.
Well, this is my concern about the question, Gareth, to start with.
Okay. Well, I didn't realise this was going to be quite so philosophical, to be honest. I was hoping to get away with, no, I don't know either, and just leave it there. But
philosophical is very much the path we tread these days.
Well, I do think of, I think it's sort of in my head, it goes University Challenge, Trev
only
and Ben.
Connect.
No. You're in between. I was going to say you're in between Jeremy Paxman and the woman that presents Only Connect, but that would be an image that I don't think any of us really want.
No, but it's one I've got now, so thank you for that. I don't know whether I'm enjoying it or not.
It's Victoria, is it Victoria Corran Mitchell?
Yes. Very lovely television presenter. And then you've thrown Paxman to the mix.
Yeah. And you two in the middle. I mean, that is, I think it's more Paxman than you two at the moment, really.
Well,
but
all I'll say is that it's certainly created the Thames barrier of my passions.
Can you see I'm stalling?
I called you our resident physicist. Mm-hmm. Is that a weird thing for a podcast to have? We don't have any other resident professions.
No, but as far as I know, I'm the only person who comes on this show that actually sort of lives under the stairs in your house, aren't I? So in that sense, true. I am resident.
Yes. Well, very much a prisoner.
I'm just delighted to be out in the fresh air, to be honest.
Right. So back to
moving on.
Back to these. People do wonder when they come round. They say, "What's the third
what is that smell?"
Well, that's the physicist. What you get there's the physicist, the prisoner physicist aroma. It's a very alluring smell, and yet very recognisable.
Well, that's what Victoria Corrin Mitchell tells me. Anyway. Sorry, you wanted to talk about temperatures.
Yeah, there was a question at the beginning of this, yeah. Before we started talking about some sordid foursome with Victoria Corrin Mitchell, us two and Paxman, yeah.
you've just gone back there. You've gone back there, Ben. I was all ready to move on. Look, I don't think you can answer this without moving from scale to scale.
That's what I thought. That's,
I think that must be the key to this, that you're supposed to interpret 0 degrees on one scale as another reading of temperature on a different scale. Otherwise, you are in that problem where, you know, 2 times 0 is zero.
Now, so this is great news because Trev was dismissing me. He was frankly teasing and mocking me in the last podcast, saying you were going to come on and rip me a new one. And I think all you've done, Gareth, is you've come on and confirmed that I have an official mind blower.
Well, this is, I was worried about this, to be honest. Yeah. I thought it's going to be civil war now, isn't it? Whichever way I go, one of you is not going to be happy. I thought that the 0 degrees would apply to the Celsius scale, which is, you know, I guess these days what we're all most familiar with. You know, that's the scale at which ice is at 0 degrees and water boils at 100. Yeah?
Yeah.
So if that's the 0 degrees, then I think all you got to do is convert that into Fahrenheit and then do twice as cold on the Fahrenheit scale and reverse it back into the Celsius scale. If I remember correctly, I think 0 degrees C is 32 Fahrenheit. I think that's right. And so if you're going to be twice as cold, then I think you have to go to presumably 0 Fahrenheit. You have to go down by 32, and that would take you to minus 17, minus 18 degrees C. I think.
Not to nitpick the physicist, but
here we go. Yeah. Stand by.
Wouldn't twice as cold as 32 be 16?
Well, that was the other problem I had with this, really, which is what does twice as cold mean?
Here we go. Another problem with this bullshit question that I knew. I knew it was bubbling away.
I'm not quite sure what we mean by twice as cold.
What do we mean by twice as cold, Ben?
Well, it would mean whatever the temperature today is, tomorrow will be 2 times colder. So I suppose actually twice as cold as 32 degrees would have to be minus 32 degrees, wouldn't it? Because 32 degrees would be our 100%. So minus your 100%, you're back to zero. And a full extra one on the scale would be another 32 degrees in the opposite direction.
Well, so you see, Ben, this is where...
2 times colder than 32 is minus 32.
This is where we get into maths, I'm afraid.
Oh, Christ.
So, God, what have I done?
Exactly. I mean, I tried to put this off by talking about, you know, Victoria Corrin Mitchell, but it's not worked.
Because the other thing, you're not going to start throwing all this bullshit at me that if you multiply a minus, it becomes a positive.
Hang on. Was that comment directed at me?
Anyone who prepared.
I'm quite happy for you to have a go at Ben for throwing bullshit, but. But I came here in good faith.
That was your first mistake.
It wasn't my first one, but definitely it's a mistake.
You have to understand, and surely you will know this, that in science there are sometimes difficult points to be raised.
Let me put a question to you. Well, either one of you. If you increase something by 100%, how much more have you got?
If I have one apple and I increase that by 100%, I will have two apples.
Two apples,
And so how much have you added to that? You've got the original one and you've added onto that another apple, haven't you? Yeah.
Correct.
So in that sense, I think if something's going to be twice as cold as it is today, you add on another 100% of that temperature. So that would be basically going down to zero, not, I mean, basically, if you've got today's temperature and tomorrow is twice as cold, it's the same temperature as today minus from today's temperature. It's not like two times that.
I don't understand that, because if we're understanding the marker of one thing as 32 degrees,
yeah,
then we take that one thing away. So then you've lost 100% or one times.
Yeah, exactly.
So if to lose twice as much, you'd need to move again in what we've established as one, which is a 32 degrees. So
we must be at minus 32. 32 degrees might be deemed unfortunate, but to lose two, it's careless.
This makes sense in my head so much.
I'm glad it does in yours. Churchillian quotes or whoever it was aside, how would you describe losing 100% of today's temperature tomorrow? How would you describe that? If twice as cold is two times as much, how would you describe what I'm saying, which is going down to zero Fahrenheit tomorrow?
Well, I would suggest if we've lost 100% of today's temperature, then temperature is measured in heat. So therefore, we would have to go back to zero. So whatever the heat was today is today's heat. So for it to be... to lose all today's heat tomorrow would be 0 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah, but in the language,
to me,
in the language, I mean, it's that is all wrong. But anyway,
can I just say I love the phrase temperature is measured in heat. And yeah, it's my favourite phrase.
I mean, if there's one thing you learn in physics, it's that heat and temperature are absolutely not the same thing. They're very different. But we're not going to go into that. We're definitely not going to go into that in the language of twice as cold. Like, what's the version of that for if it going down to 0 degrees Fahrenheit if it's 32 today?
In my mind, if it's 32 degrees today and it's going to be twice as cold tomorrow, then it will be minus 32.
Yeah, but what would you call the situation if it's not minus 32 but it's zero?
Well, that's what I asked you.
Well, by your logic, you'd be saying it's as cold tomorrow as it is today. If 100% doesn't mean twice as much, which is what you're saying, then you'd be saying if the temperature went to zero tomorrow, you'd be saying it's as cold as it is today. I'm saying you're saying it's twice as cold if it goes down to zero tomorrow.
Let's put that in your little pipe and smoke it.
I haven't really understood it. I think he's steering me back into the mathematical problem of you can't times or divide things by zero.
I'm saying it's the apple thing. If you had one apple today and then you add one more apple, you've got twice as much apple. That's basically where I'm coming from. But Ben, I reckon next week you'll be coming back going, oh, I get it now. I get it now. And Trev will be all delighted.
Because it works. It works with me and apples. If you said, Ben, you've got one apple, tomorrow you'll have twice as few apples, then I'll say tomorrow I'll be owed an apple.
Sorry, I'm just writing an email to the Met Office if they could just start putting temperatures up in apples in the next report. Tomorrow's going to be 32 apples. We're going to start measuring heat in apples.
Well, it would make as much sense, wouldn't it?
If it's hot, we'll have baked apples.
Well, the real key to this is because you're confusing multiplying things by adding things. So what you're doing is you're adding and taking away things. So actually what you're doing is taking away 100% of something. That's not the same as multiplying by two. That's
whilst
really
I completely trust that you're right and I'm probably wrong on that.
Oh, that's
I
very still, kind of you.
I still feel like you haven't answered the question we invited you on to answer.
Oh, I have. What is the temperature going to be? It's going to be minus 17 degrees C.
Minus 17
tomorrow.
Degrees C.
That's the actual answer you're looking for. That's the answer on the paper. That's the answer on the mark scheme. That's what's going to get you the GCSE.
So there we go. I think we've cracked it, Ben.
Well, not quite.
I'm still not entirely happy.
Not quite. Maybe this will please you, Ben, that actually all this stuff about degrees doesn't work anyway, because in physics, in proper science, there are no degrees.
Just apples.
No, Kelvin's, actually.
Kelvin's. I mentioned Kelvin's a couple of weeks ago. I was really proud of myself for throwing that into the mix.
Yeah, well, very, very good. So you get a point
minus
there.
Minus 273, is that absolute?
That's absolute zero. Kelvin. And before anyone who does know science listens to this and thinks, no, he's wrong. So you never say Kelvin's, you just say Kelvin. But no, here's the thing, right? So if it's absolute zero, if it's zero Kelvin, then all sorts of weird things happen there, right? So, you know, everything's made of atoms, made of like protons and electrons and all of that. These words you might have heard of. At 0 degrees, they all go super, super weird. It's a weird stuff. It's the fifth state of matter called Bose-Einstein condensate. Yeah, that's something to impress your friends with. Bose-Einstein condensate, right? And at that temperature, all the electrons in something behave like just one electron. So they're all like, instead of flying around like a crowd of people going in different directions doing their own thing, they all move as one. So you get things like super electricity and super magnetism and everything like that at 0 Kelvin. So if tomorrow is going to be 0 Kelvin, well, we're all buggered, basically.
Right.
I think it's time to lock him back under the stairs, Trev.
Please feed me before I go away again.
Well, I think we can put this question to bed now.
I think whoever found that question has got a very sharp and intelligent mind. And frankly, the fact that I needed to be called in to answer this just displays the sort of limited intellectual ability of the people trying to answer it, really. I don't know if that helps anyone.
It's very kind of you to say.
I'm calling that a win.
Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Thanks very much to Gareth Sturdy again for coming on and setting us right about that question.
Yes, very, very grateful for him for coming on. I do feel like, I don't know, maybe someone of his intellect is slightly wasted coming on to answer such trivial shit, but I appreciate his time nonetheless.
Before we go, I've got a couple of recommendations for you.
Go ahead.
One's a film called A Taxi Driver.
Not to be confused with Taxi. No, Taxi Driver.
Or Taxi Driver. Okay. It's a Korean film. It's all based on a true story from 1980 when there was an uprising in one of the provinces.
I was going to do a Are You Talking to Me in a Korean accent, but I figured we'd be cancelled if
that
I did.
Would be incredibly racist.
Carry on, quick.
I mean, I was thinking the same.
They're on a plate, isn't it?
So it's about this German journalist who goes to try and tell the story of what was going on. And of course, they don't want anyone filming anything of what was going on because the forces were killing civilians and demonstrators.
Right.
And it's about this taxi driver who just thought he was getting a fare for the day. And he ended up in the middle of this quite intense riots where his life was put at risk. It's an amazing film.
It sounds good.
It was on Film 4 about 3 or 4 weeks ago, so it might still be on catch up there, but if you can find that anywhere, do watch it. And the other thing I want to recommend is a friend of mine, I watched one episode a while back and thought it was okay, but it didn't really sink in. But it's a thing called King Gary on BBC One. It's a comedy starring Tom Davis. And he said to me, oh, I love it. And I said, oh, I must go back to it. I've just watched the first series. It's fucking brilliant. The second series is just out now. So that's on the iPlayer. Well worth a watch.
I'll be sure to give that a go.
So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us about absolutely anything. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.